And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar. Joe Rex Road will be along here shortly. Ian, how are we doing, brother? Good morning.
I'm good. How are you, Robbie?
Doing awesome.
Yeah, fun. Another fun night of sports.
Another fun night of sports.
The hoops playoffs, good.
Nuggets with a comeback last night.
Knicks too, I think.
Knicks going to come back as well.
Yeah, and not so great for the Preds in the draft lottery.
Did not go well.
But doing great.
Did not go well for the Nashville Predators last night in the NHL draft lottery. We got a lot to get into on that front throughout the show here today. We'll have John Glennon coming up at 8 o'clock. He was there yesterday for Barry Trotz's press conference. Lots to get into on the Preds front with him. We'll get into a little Titans with Glennon as well coming up at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that. We're going to take your reaction. The Predators lose out on the draft lottery last night. It was the worst possible result for them because, of course it was. Why not? With the way that this season has gone. Barry Trotz announcing that Andrew Burnett returning as head coach yesterday. Not that that was a huge surprise heading into it, but it is now official. He will be back as head coach. And several things from Barry Trotz yesterday standing out at his end of season press availability, which we will get to throughout the course of the show. We welcome in Joe Rex Road to the program. Joseph, good morning. How are we doing? What's going on?
Well, if buns was a feeling, that'd be me. I feel like ass. But you know, it's kind of works for the theme today. You know,
kind of does.
It's fitting. You know, decided to switch it up, and at the place that I've eaten a million times, Mexican restaurant, no free ads. That of course we had to go to on Cinco de Mayo. I said, you know what, I'm going to try this beef birria plate. I think it's birria, right? It's not birria.
I believe you're correct.
And it was delicious. It absolutely destroyed my stomach. I guess it could be that something was like wrong with the food.
Yeah.
Or it's just that, but yeah, I could kind of tell, you know, when you're eating it, like it's really like the seasoning and there was a lot of meat, you know what I mean? And of course I ate all of it. So I won't go into any more detail.
Was it worth it? Was it that good?
No, like, I mean, I'll never order it again, which sucks because I really liked it, you know? But, I mean, I have to assume that it's just not meant for me.
You know, sometimes you have something that's so good that you know, you'll pay that price every now and then. You're like, you know, I know this is going to be rough, but it's worth it. But apparently last night, not the case.
Yeah, Icarus, you know, touching the sun, you know, the wings.
Maybe someday
that,
you could be like me and get gout.
So, yeah, lesson learned. Again, you live and you learn. Yep. And you love. No you doubt. Love birria, but you can't have it anymore.
Yep, that's all she wrote.
My sweet, sweet birria.
It's all gone. A nice distant memory for Rex Road. We'll take your well wishes for Rex Road on the text line as well, 615-737-1025. So let's get into it. We'll start with the draft lottery. So the lottery comes and goes last night for the Predators. They finished the regular season with the third worst record in the league, which means that heading into the lottery last night, you were only going to get 1 through 5 as a possibility. You could have won the draft lottery, but the worst you were going to fall is to number 5. So, of course, the Predators fell as far as they could possibly fall and fell to number 5 last night. Now, as I said yesterday, Joe, in the immediate aftermath of this, you know, we talked with Adam Kemmelman yesterday. They're going to get a good player at 5. Like, it's not like they've fallen to 30 here and you're just completely on the back half of the first round. They're going to walk out of this with a good player. They're still going to have the ability to walk out of this with a center that probably ends up being the top prospect in their organization, would be my guess. So it's not like they're walking out of here with absolutely nothing. However, I do think that there's a difference in this draft specifically from the number 5 pick and number 1 and number 2, when you got a couple guys that I really like in Matthew Schaefer and Michael Mesa. So, Joe, kind of the exclamation point on what I termed the season from hell from the Predators yesterday was stamped as they get the number 5 overall pick, the worst possible outcome for Nashville in the NHL draft lottery.
Yeah, and look, I mean, if you're a Preds fan who, and this is where the fan base is split, but if you're a Preds fan who, you know, really didn't want Andrew Brunette back, what a day for you, you know? You not that you should have been surprised yesterday, but by the time we got to yesterday, but still, the day that he officially announces back, and then you get the worst possible pick that you can get. But it kind of goes along with the way things, you know, have been going for this franchise. And I'm not saying that personally about Brunette, but the pick certainly goes along with that. So, I mean, I think you make a good point, you know, like there's going to be a really good player there. It's going to be really interesting, you know, like we've talked about McQueen. Does that end up being sort of who it has to be almost at that point? I mean, I could, you know, you can see it shaking out that way. And then in which case you would have a very exciting, enticing, but also, you know, sort of iffy situation, you know, with your top prospect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's there could be some options there. I mean, you know, I brought up a piece yesterday from TSN that, you know, Bob McKenzie put together that had Hagans as the number 5 guy. Well, if Hagans drops to 5, like, I'd take that right now if you're the Predators. Now, I don't know that he's going to get there. You know, they did the draft lottery show yesterday, and I think NHL Central Scouting has Hagans at 3. So they had Schaefer at 1, Misa at 2, Hagans at 3. You know, there's the Porter Martone kid who's the winger who could be a pretty good player in the NHL. He's, for most people, at 4. And then there's a couple of guys. You brought up McQueen there. There's Frondell, who's out of Sweden, who's a centerman that could be there and available at 5. Some people have him rated higher than that. So, like I said, they're going to get a good player. They're going to get a good player at 5, and there's going to be some options at center for them at 5 as well. But can they find that guy that is ultimately the building block of your franchise? Like, when you're back in the top 5 for basically, I think, the 3rd time in team history, like, you want to walk out of there with a building block for your franchise, and we'll see if they're able to do that. Here's the other thing, Joe. Like, I think a lot of people were hoping that somebody could come in, be drafted, and help this team as soon as next year. I don't know how many of those guys exist in this draft. I think Schaefer's probably one of those guys on defense. Maybe Misa. Beyond that, I don't know that you're really getting anybody that comes in and immediately helps you next year. So certainly I think your chances of that happening just went down yesterday after picking at 5.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously when you think about the urgency of next year, that was one of the big hopes. It's like, okay, there's another piece without having to do a trade, you know, or a signing, you know, where it's like, okay, this is an exciting young piece to be able to come in and, you know, and really make a difference. Probably not going to happen now, but yeah, if you end up getting someone who is, like you said, the top prospect, who is a building block for years to come, then you have to be happy with that. I think some people probably ask this question. I'll ask it right off the jump. I think I know the answer, but they do have extra picks. I don't suppose there's any way they could move up even a spot in this draft, right?
I'm not saying that it's totally impossible, because I guess nothing is totally impossible. I just know that people that have top 5 picks in the NHL draft very rarely trade them. Like, it just very rarely happens. I mean, Barry Trotz has been trying his butt off to get in the top 5 the last few years and hasn't been able to do it. Now, I realize that he's already in the top 5, and you're talking about just moving a couple spots probably at that point. So maybe he can package something together that's more doable. But my guess is that where these teams are right now, like, I can guarantee you, like, the New York Islanders, who got the top pick, they're not moving. Like, San Jose,
they're taking Schaefer.
San Jose's probably not moving. Like, I know there's this thought out there that, you know, if the Islanders go Schaefer, that's who San Jose really wants. So would they be able to trade back at that point? I mean, you could trade back if you're them. I would probably be more apt to say, well, there's Will Smith, there's Macklin Celebrini, and we'll just throw Michael Misa right in there with him and go. That would be what I would do if I'm San Jose. So that's a long way of me saying I would be surprised if they're able to pull that off.
Yeah, and again, it's kind of like the only thing you really feel good about, like solid about, is Schaefer and Misa will be gone.
Yeah.
And then how it shakes out from there could be various way. I mean, I'm sure, you know, everyone will have a better idea by the time we get to that point, but you know, it kind of seems like it flattens out for about the next few picks anyway.
No, and it was interesting. Like, not only did the Predators drop to 5 last night in this lottery, Joe, so you had New York move all the way up to 1. Utah won the second draw, but they could only move up 10 spots, so they moved up to 4, which means not only did the Predators get the worst possible result of them dropping to 5, but it was also like the two teams in front of them basically only had to drop one spot, right? Like, San Jose dropped to 2, Chicago dropped to 3, and the Predators were the one team that had to drop back 2 spots after that. It's just it's a tough one for Nashville last night.
Yeah. Then I like how the NHL mixed it up. You know, I was actually with a big Blackhawks fan last night, and of course I was talking conspiracy all night, but I was like, oh, you know what? That's a good move. Yeah, let's get the New York team up at the top. So, I mean, I think that's a good move from the NHL.
I will say, you know, I got a lot of this yesterday on Twitter after it happened, and I'm sure we'll get it today, about how rigged the draft lottery is. And my response this time was like, I mean, guys, we saw it live. Like, they had it live on the TV the entire process. So it would have been a heck of a job to rig that one.
Yeah, it's not rigged. It's just so confusing No one could ever possibly explain it.
Pull out this number. What does it mean?
Oh, I felt supremely dumber after having watched it. Like, I was like, I don't really know what I just saw. But apparently that was the NHL draft lottery. So that was good. I think a lot of people felt that way yesterday. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your reaction to the Predators losing out on the NHL draft lottery. Plus, coming up next, Barry Trotz makes it official yesterday. Andrew Burnett coming back as head coach. Your thoughts on all that. We'll get into it. Hot and heavy all hour long here on the Nashville Predators. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on quite an interesting day for the Predators yesterday. Barry Trotz making it official. Andrew Burnett back as head coach. We're going to get into that here in just a few moments. Predators also lose out on the draft lottery yesterday and end up 5th overall, which, given the situation, was the worst possible outcome for them. Taking your thoughts on that. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mike in Gallatin to the program. Mike, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Good morning. So we were watching the draft lottery at a restaurant, so obviously the volume wasn't turned up. But to me, it didn't make any sense how the number system worked. If you guys understood how the number system worked, to me it just looked like they were playing bingo. The numbers, like, it didn't really almost matter what number you pulled. I don't understand how Utah landed at 4. So explain to me what the numbers would have had to have looked like for us to pull to get what we wanted. And then also just kind of how, the slotting works. I mean, it's just all of a sudden they just put up the number 2 team and the 4 at the same time. And I was like, I thought we were picking for number 2. It didn't make any sense. We need to do a much more clear – the NBA has a much better, more easy-to-understand draft lottery than the NHL bingo.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I agree. It was confusing yesterday. Like, you know, even as somebody who, you know, works in the NHL, like I walked away from that thinking, good Lord, what just happened with this thing? So, you know, first off, I mean, there's corresponding numbers that went along with each team. So basically, like, if you drew your numbers, you were going to be the winner of the draft lottery. So that's why, like, if you looked at it, there were numbers that corresponded with the Predators where they needed, I think at one point, to get number 2, a 4 or a 13 to be drawn or something like that. So had they done that, like, the numbers corresponded with the team, the combination of numbers that they would have had. As far as, like, you know, you were drafting for 2 and Utah ends up with 4, there was a rule put in a couple years ago where you can only move up 10 spots if you're in the lottery. So, like, I think Utah was number 14 in the standings. They were right there on the line to get into the playoffs, and they won, so they moved up 10 spots and got to that 4th spot. So there was no way that Utah at 14 could have moved up to the number 1 or number 2 pick. So that's where the confusion comes in. You were picking for 2, and Utah, it actually ended up winning the number 2 pick, but they couldn't move up to number 2 because there was a restriction on how many spots you can move up. And, Joe, even as I'm sitting here explaining it, it's getting very confusing to me.
Yeah, I'm getting a headache. Maybe it was more like Keno than bingo, but yeah. I like that. NHL bingo. I like that. Yeah, I I was not prepared for this, so I had to study up in the middle of it, and so I sort of have an idea. I mean, I think you explained it pretty well there, but it's a little convoluted, you know. But look, it is still better to do what they did last night than to just be like, the number one pick is Chicago, you know. I mean, it's so I guess we just have to get used to this.
Let's head back to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Well, dude, yeah, I'm kind of sick about it, but it's like if you've ever watched a game show with a baby boomer, like they all say it's rigged the whole time. Like you're just sitting there through it like, well, if they're playing Plinko and you put it between the K and the O and hit it every time. Like, yeah, it is what it is. Like I'm not going to go like conspiracy with it, but I will say like it's incredible how unlucky Nashville and the state of Tennessee is and things like this. That's all I'm saying. Like, if the Titans were in the same situation, they would have picked fourth or fifth. There's no way we would have ended up number one overall. So, I don't know. I'm sick. And they're bringing back Burnett on the same day. It was a big punch in the gut, man. Like, I feel like we're going to suck forever. And even if he were to mortgage all the picks that he's acquired to get up and get one of these dudes, I don't think they're as transcendent as people. I don't know, man. I just feel like we're going to suck forever.
Thank you for the call, Adam. Hey, shout out to Plinko. Fun game out there. Love watching some Plinko.
Yeah. Plinko's fun. What's the one with the little red dudes, no whammies? What's that again?
I have no idea.
I like the match game. Gene Labor.
Does the Game Show Network still exist? I need to go find that. Go find all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, it was quite the scene last
night. Press
your
luck. No whammy, no whammy, no whammy.
Right.
Stop.
Yeah.
Boom.
It's quite the scene watching like Gary Bettman last night, like, all right, start the machine. All right, start the clock. And now we're going to draw.
So what was really weird is like when they were still like, you know, the balls were flying around, but they had the commercials going.
Yeah.
You know, so basically we just like saw the one guy's hand and I was like, I really hope he got a nice manicure. Like, is this guy, it's like George Costanza hand modeling here. Like, what are we doing? They got a few things to streamline.
So the other big news item yesterday for the Predators, Andrew Burnett officially back as coach. Barry Trotz announcing that at his press conference. And Trotz said a lot of things on the Andrew Burnett front, but talked about how, you know, he could have taken the easy way out, and he didn't do that. He believes in developing people, and he's going to continue to try to help develop Andrew Burnett as head coach. A lot of reaction to that, Joe. You know, frankly, I wasn't surprised. Like, we talked about that heading into it, that you know, when you announce last Wednesday that you're holding a press conference on Monday, it's probably not because you're firing your coach and waiting 5 days to do it. So I kind of figured that you were walking in yesterday with the realization that Andrew Burnett was coming back as head coach. I will say the reaction has been very loud, as I thought it might be, from Predators fans on the social media part of this. So, Joe, your thoughts on Barry Trotz making it official and announcing that Andrew Burnett is coming back for his third season as head coach?
Well, I've already picked through a little bit of this. So before I get to my thoughts, I mean, here's a texter saying, you know, one, the lottery not rigged, just karma for that dumbass press conference. By the way, I mean, Adam, like Adam in Portland, like I joke about, you know, the Blackhawks and all that stuff, but like it really isn't rigged. So just as long as we can move forward on that. And then the same texter says, amazing Pred strategy to hide the awful presser by the draft lottery. Talks accountability, but hides behind the draft lottery. Oh, this is Jesse texting that. My thoughts are that I thought that the Barry Trotz said some really, really interesting things. And some things that I actually thought were really good in terms of just philosophically how he looks at the coach. I mean, the thing that stood out to me the most, Robbie, was basically saying, he needs to call these dudes out.
Yeah.
And he didn't last year, and he should have. Because it's, he was like talking about like a tool in the belt and all this stuff. He needs more tools in his belt. Like, what the heck does that mean? You know, like, does he need a bigger whistle? Like, what are we talking about here? But that's it. Like, call these guys out. I come away from that. Like, the one big question, which is like, we keep viewing this situation through conventional terms, right? Like, oh, well, Thanksgiving last year, he might be in trouble, all this stuff. You know, again, like, this is how most teams do it.
Right.
And so now I see the questions. Now we've been asking the questions. We'll keep asking the questions. How short is the leash for Burnett? At some point, do you start to think, well, Barry Trotz is just unconventional on this thing. He was part of an unconventional situation with all the time he got here. And I listen to everything and I'm like, are we sure that Andrew Burnett is on an actual real hot seat going into next year?
Well, it's a good question. I do have some thoughts on that, which I'm going to get into here in just a few minutes. Let's get real quickly to David, who's been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. By the way, I can relate to the aftermath of the Cinco celebration, so best of luck going into that the rest of the morning. Just real quick, I'm on the fence with Burnett. I don't love it. I don't hate it. But here's my question for you. Last season was a long season. I didn't see a lot of improvement towards the end. What is Burnett going to pick up over the summer that he can apply to the next season? And I get that you learn from your mistakes and those lessons, but I don't know. I'm a little confused by that. Thanks, guys. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. We're going to get into all that coming up next. So Joe throws it out there. Do we think that Barry Trotz and his unconventional approach, does that have an expiration date? I think that's really the question that I want to get into coming in next. What does it mean for Andrew Burnett? Can Andrew Burnett actually significantly change his approach, his system, the way that things operate with this group significantly enough next year where the results are much different than what we saw this year? We're going to get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You know, the other question that is on everybody's mind is coaching staff. Andrew Burnett, what's happening with Andrew Burnett? Andrew Burnett, to me, is a good young coach. That's why I hired him. He's a good young coach, had a tough situation this year in terms of our team, maybe our makeup, how we came together or didn't come together, you know, right at the start of the year. And he needs to add a lot of tools to his tool belt. I think I was that guy. I was Andrew Burnett way back when, in terms of I thought I had a lot of tools in my tool belt. And you find out you have to add a couple more. I think he did add some during the year. I think he's going to add some at the World Championships this year. He's part of the Canadian staff. Good young people, when you believe in them, just like a good young player, you stick with them. And Andrew Burnett is just like a young player. We could have did the easy thing, make a change, and see if we can get a bump up, whatever. I didn't do that. I believe in developing people. I believe he's a good young coach. He's a good young hockey mind. And Andrew's going to work hard to find a solution. He's a solution-based guy, as well as myself. We'll find that solution.
That's Barry Trotz yesterday on his decision to bring Andrew Burnett back as head coach. Andrew Burnett will return for his third season as head coach of the Nashville Predators. So the questions following that are, is that the right move? Is Trotz making a huge mistake here? And what do we make of the approach that Trotz has taken? Now, Joe, I've talked about it, and I think you would agree. In most organizations, Andrew Burnett would have been fired either in the middle of the year last year or certainly after the season, given the team that was put together and the expectations for the team heading into the season. I think that most of us would agree with that. Now, the Predators have always, always been a more patient team with a more patient approach. I mean, they've been around for more than 25 years at this point, and they have had four head coaches in the history of their team and two general managers. I mean, that's what we're talking about. That just doesn't happen in pro sports. So we know that the Predators do things a little bit differently on the coaching and general manager front than other teams, other organizations in the league do. Now, we can sit here and have the back and forth about whether or not that's right or whether or not that's the approach they need to have, and I think all of those things are fair questions. So if you want to have those questions, I'm totally fine with it. I think the big thing that I would say, you know, Barry Trotz, I've always said this, and this is kind of what I was talking about. I've always said that Barry Trotz is going to be way more patient than most because of how he came into the league, right? They were an expansion franchise. They were terrible for 5 years. There was 5-6 years before they got any sort of payoff and finally got into the playoffs. And David Poile was patient with Trotz and stayed with him, and it ended up working out. Trotz became a really good coach, ultimately was a big part of the fabric of kind of the foundation that was set here. And then we know what he did. He went on to Washington, won a Stanley Cup, all those things. You know, that is the approach that Barry Trotz seems to be taking at the moment with Andrew Burdette. Now, Joe, my counterargument to that would be, this is not the same thing. This is not the same situation. And frankly, it probably should not be the same approach as you had when you were an expansion franchise coming into the league, right? Like, you don't have time to wait 5 years. You don't have time to wait, you know, 4 or 5 years for Andrew Burnette to develop into a good coach. So you threw the question out there in the last segment. Should we expect Andrew Burnette to be on a hot seat early into next year? Is this unconventional approach by Barry Trotz, is that going to continue with the head coach if it gets into next season and the results don't get better? I think if it's not better early in the next season, I think you have to make a move. Because if I'm Bill Haslam, frankly, if I'm Sean Henry, if I'm looking around and I'm this fan base, I'm saying, hey, this isn't 1998. This isn't 2000. We're not an expansion franchise anymore. The results, you got to have them. Like, you got to win at some point. So I do not think that Andrew Burnette is going to skate free heading into next year and not be on the hot seat heading into next year. And I think Trotz alluded to that a little bit yesterday. I mean, he talked about how, you know, eventually the results are going to have to come. And he talked about, you know, believing in people, developing people, all those things. But, you know, he always went back to probably 3 or 4 different times yesterday of completely understanding that it's a results business and at some point he's going to have to get the job done. First meet of the day for Rex Road.
You know what's great? Yeah. Well, you know what's great is I didn't get to the mute in time before sneezing twice last segment, but then I was able to get to the mute right after that.
Yeah.
For no reason whatsoever. I was like, again, it's like, let's make sure we have a nice shot of the dude's hand while the ping pong. But that's basically how useful I am being with technology right now. I think that makes sense. I mean, I think you're probably right. And of course, it's a totally different situation. I mean, you know, if it was a comparable situation, we'd be talking years. We're not talking years. But I just, you know, I understand you mentioned results, but I feel like they get off to a bad start and it's, you know, 3 weeks into the season, a month into the season, and everyone's screaming that he's got to go. And I could see Trotz still being like, I mean, I just committed to the guy. I just said all this stuff about the guy. And I'm not going to, you know, pull the plug this early. I mean, who knows? We'll see how it works out. But I think that's what you hit on, of course, is where it gets interesting is ownership's different. And at some point, you know, I mean, we're moving into the territory of heavy scrutiny on Trotz.
Yes.
And I think that's totally
fair
at this point.
That is what I'm getting to. Like, at some point, if you don't pull the plug turns on you. Like, that's what happens.
Right.
And frankly, like, and we're going to get to some comments that Trotz had about Jonathan Marchessault, which I thought were incredibly interesting yesterday at his press conference. We're going to get to that coming up at 7 o'clock. But frankly, like if they start poorly again next year, if I'm one of these veteran guys, and particularly one of the new veteran guys, I think you're going to run into some problems with them. Like if they don't start well next year, I think you're going to run into some problems with Marchessault and Stamkos, and they're going to look around and they're going to say, what are we doing here? Like, what's going on? Like, I think it's way more complicated than Barry Trotz just saying, hey, this is my guy for as long as he wants to do it. Like, at some point, I think your hand gets forced if you're Barry Trotz, and I don't think we're that far away from that.
Yeah, and again, and that happens, and then you're looking at everything, and you're like, okay, so is coach hire – failed. He gave the coach the wrong team. He talked all off season about, you know, adding some tools to the belt. I don't know, where are the tools?
Yeah.
What tools? What did he add? You know, and now you have this mess. So no, it's a critical, you know, obviously time for both of them. And again, we just the patience of the Preds, the historical patience and all that stuff, and it may be coming to an end, and it probably needs to be to some extent. Not that I think it's all that productive to constantly be changing, but you know, I also feel like the Preds through all of this, we've talked many times about, you know, the struggles and finding and developing forwards in this organization. I mean, has Barry Trotz done enough of a full self-scout when he took over for David Poile? You know, there's a lot going on with the job. But I think that's a fair question to ask now, too. You know, I mean, is this organization set up for success for the long term? The farm system looks better now than it did a few years ago. But I think that's a fair question to ask. The whole thing.
Well, I think when you have a season like you just had, you need to – everything needs to be under scrutiny. Like, you need to really take a hard look at your process, your pieces that you've got in place with your organization, your scouting department. Like, you need to take a long look at everything if you're Barry Trotz. But, again, like I think there were some Predators fans that were surprised yesterday when he came out there and said Brunette was coming back. And I just don't – like reading the tea leaves, I kind of expected that to be the case yesterday. And then we get into, all right, well, what is that going to mean? And here's another fundamental question, I think. What are meaningful changes that he can make, right? Like the adjustments came up again yesterday, right? Like Andrew Brunette talked about in his season-ending press conference that he did not have the solutions right now, but he was going to go to work over the summer. He was going to find out what went wrong, what didn't work, and how to fix it. And I think one of my responses and one of the responses of a lot of people in the fan base was, well, I mean, you had 82 games worth this year where things were going wrong and you didn't fix it. So are you going to fix it in the offseason? You know, Barry Trotz talked yesterday about adjustments, right? Like Andrew Brunette, I'm sure he's going to make adjustments to the way that they play and the way that they try to do things next year with their team. And obviously we know the roster is going to be different next year. How much different? I have no idea. We'll see. But it's going to be different. There are going to be some pieces that they add. But it gets back to the question of can you really adjust things that much to make it different next year with the same coaching staff? And also, if you feel like you have to adjust it that much, are you not better off just going and bringing somebody else in? That's where I think the fundamental question comes back to.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, look, some of this is going to be as simple as some of these these players have to, I mean, he just talked in the quote we ran, you know, not coming together.
Right.
You know, you think of that as a coach thing, but also, like, these are veterans. These are guys with skins on the wall with tremendous achievement. And, like, they need to figure it out too, you know? I mean, because like the core of this team, we know, is going to be the same. I mean, there's going to be at least one, I think, significant move this offseason. But basically, they're all coming back. So it's not just the coaches. Like, how much adjustment can you hit? It's the same guys. So what can they do to be better?
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Bob in Antioch. Bob, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I like Trotz, and I have a lot of respect for him. But in the press conference yesterday, he didn't seem to exude a lot of confidence. He sort of had a deer in the headlights air about him, at the same thing that I detected from Brunette at times this year. Did you guys feel like he appeared a little bit to be lacking confidence?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob. I don't think that I got the he was lacking confidence vibe. I do think, I mean, look, we know Barry Trotz, right, Joe? I mean, he had a 30-minute opening statement yesterday. It was 30 minutes long. And I found it to be funny just because I know him and that's how he operates. But I know there were some people like, what are we doing here? Like, he's just up there rambling, right? He's up there rambling about the way the season went. And he got 30 minutes in, and we still hadn't taken any questions yet. So, I mean, there's another 30 minutes of questions after that. Like, I think sometimes he goes down some rabbit trails, and he's, like, trying to tie everything together. And I think sometimes in this particular setting, I think a lot of the fans looked at that yesterday and said, all right, what's he talking about? Like, what's he trying to – what is the message he's trying to convey, and why is this kind of going all over the place with the opening statement that he gave yesterday?
To Bob's point, I mean, I sense a little bit of him feeling it, you know, but he should be. I mean, like, this has gone terribly. I mean, like, so I think Trotz is a very level-headed and, yes, very verbose guy who, I think, like, maybe yesterday was a better time to just be, like, a little bit quicker to the point. Like, people are upset and like, let's get to the news. But that's how he is. I get a sense though that he's feeling it a little bit, you know, like even some comments here and there about people maybe upset or this or that. Yep. I mean, it's human nature, right? I mean, he has to be feeling it. This is, hey, if you're a fan who loved the moves last year, I've seen some of this reaction. You know, I mean, you can still be upset by it now because, like, it's not your job to put this team together. It's his job to put this team together. But we were on the same train last year. Thought that this would be an exciting year, and we're blown away by some of those additions. But ultimately, they didn't work, and so that's why he's where he is right now.
We'll take more of your thoughts on the Predators and Andrew Burnett coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, the game. Check out Nashville's Best Deal of the Week, celebrating National Barbecue Month. Get $50 gift card to Central Barbecue in Capitol View for half off right now. You can try their new barbecue sampler, ribs, wings, and barbecue sliders. Just go to thegamenashville.com/deals. While supplies last. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025. Let's head back to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in Cam to the program. Cam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing good.
Good.
So, first of all, shout out to Hal Gill for having a draft during the lotto draft. That was impressive. Also, his explanation, I never thought about it as to why they have a lotto. But, you know, when he explained it yesterday that this is how they keep teams from tanking, a two-part question. One, do you think that this lotto, you know, situation will ever go to the NFL to keep teams from tanking? And also, doesn't Juice's contract kick in July? And do they have a chance to, because I've heard it before, that if they could kick out of that contract before July, before it actually kicks in? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, they can't do anything with the contract. I mean, the contract is fully guaranteed in the NHL. I mean, the only thing you could do, Joe, is trade it. And I don't think anybody's making
good
that
luck
trade right now. And frankly, I don't think the Predators are based on Barry Trotz. Like, Barry Trotz seems to be a full believer in UC Saros and seems to think that his struggles last year are way more because of what was happening in front of them than what was going on with UC Saros. So I think if you're holding out hope out there that they're going to get rid of UC Saros, I think you could go ahead and jettison that from your thought process. Like, UC Saros is going to be here, and the 8-year contract is kicking in this summer, and we'll see how it goes. Like, I do not have a great deal of confidence in that deal right now, but he's going to be here, and that's going to be part of it. As far as, you know, the lotto system and whether or not it's going to the NFL, I think the NFL is very happy with their draft and the way that their draft is currently structured, Joe. It's one of the most entertaining parts of the sports calendar year that takes up a lot of our discussion time. I doubt very seriously the NFL is considering making any changes whatsoever to their draft.
Yeah. Okay, that was a question, because I know someone on the text line asked it the other way. It's like, why can't the NHL do it like the NFL? But, yeah, I mean, I think the lottery is here to stay for the NHL, too, so and the NBA. I think they're all probably going to stay the same. The drafts do well. Yeah, as far as Saros, you know, we talk about Trotz and everything. I mean, look, if Saros doesn't, like, pretty immediately turn to form next year, you talk about, like, the reason Barry Trotz is going to be in trouble. I mean, that's it right there, right? He had the other option. He did not have to sign up for Saros in this 8-year deal.
Yep.
Although very few people were second-guessing these signings last offseason, many, including us, were saying he should do the other thing and not do the long-term thing with Saros. So, I mean, if that doesn't – and, of course, he said what he said yesterday.
Sure.
You know, like, no one, you know, as we – no one ever blames the goalie. I mean, if Saros doesn't, if it looks like this is, they are just stuck with, you know, like the Saros in a decline, that's, I mean, to me, as much of an indictment of Trotz as anything.
Yeah, like, you know, I hear, you know, Trotz talked a lot about, and he's talked a lot throughout this entire process about how he's a big believer of, like, what's happening in front of your goalie goes a long way towards how well your goalie plays. And I think you said yesterday, like, take one of the Vezina finalists this year and then put them with us. Pretty sure that the numbers would decline at that point. It's like, okay. Well, I'm with you. Like, I don't disagree with that. Like, I do think goaltending can be very fickle, and I think it can be if you're just an absolute terrible defensive team, it's probably not going to reflect well on your goalie. So I get all that. Then, of course, Joe, the question becomes, all right, well, if you think goalie is that reliant on the players in front of you, why in the world are you playing the goalie that much money, and why didn't you just go take the money and spend it on better players in front of him? Like, that exactly. would be my natural response to it.
Exactly. You go with the cheap guy, cheap young guy, and spend money elsewhere, and you're good. And some teams have, right, some teams have embraced that idea. Yeah. But they went all in on paying this guy like he's going to be a Vezina finalist for years to come, and like that's because of him. I mean, it's always people want it both ways with goalies in this league. Trotz is not alone on that, so we'll see. But yeah, I mean, this is, to me, it's all of the hopes of them turning it around and all that stuff. Sure, they have to play better in front of them, of course, but the underlying numbers also suggested decline.
Yep.
And you can't watch him last year and just come away saying, nah, it's all on everybody else. That's to me, that's insane.
Well, and there was a comment that Barry Trotz had yesterday as it relates to Jonathan Marchessault, which I think, number one, explains a lot of where he's coming from on the Andrew Brunet decision to bring him back. And number two, is really, really interesting to me to see how this dynamic works moving forward. We're going to get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, The Game.